D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Christ must be the final Lord, and not society, and not Caesar.
I love something that I really love doing.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. I'm Frank Wright. Be sure to check out our brand new website, djameskennedy.org, where you can watch all our programs and find a wealth of media resources. In this month of Thanksgiving, we remember that Christians settled this nation, seeking to practice their religion freely without government interference. Yet in our own day, government is once again attacking the free exercise of religion, specifically targeting Christians. I recently sat down in Washington, D.C. to talk with Kelly Shackelford, the president and CEO of Liberty Institute. Kelly and his team of dedicated attorneys defend religious liberty in court, and things have gotten far more difficult in the aftermath of the Supreme Court's same-sex marriage decision. Are we really facing a time of serious threat to religious liberty, or are people overstating that case?
No, I mean, I think most people are starting to see, there used to be naysayers, but there aren't as many as there were because of how obvious it's becoming. I mean, we have pastors having their sermons being subpoenaed in court. We've got a Christian clerk who's gone to jail. But just the sheer numbers of attacks. I mean, I've been doing this over a quarter century, all just religious liberty cases. I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing right now, whether it's churches that are actually having to go to court or whether it's individuals. It's the numbers are beyond anything we've ever seen.
The Supreme Court ruling in June of this year, some pretty dire predictions about a decision not based on the Constitution, based on the whims and preferences of five attorneys. Do you see some serious seeds of threat on a different level than we've seen before because of that decision?
The cases were already picking up, and there's really an exponential rate of growth on the attacks on religious freedom before the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage. So when you add that decision, it's just beyond, I think, what anybody could imagine. In our office, for instance, we've seen our requests for legal help on religious freedom increase just since the Supreme Court decision. They've increased by over 400%. And these are people that are calling literally every day saying, I've got to have legal help. And some people think, well, how could that opinion affect me? It's two people getting married. Or when you create a federal constitutional right that defines marriage in a different way, you can imagine that immediately you're going to have a lot of conflicts with religious beliefs that disagree.
In looking at the landscape of these cases, are they changing in terms of their character as well? You said the frequency of them is ramping up. What are the typical cases that you see?
Well, it used to be that maybe we would see the cases in certain areas, you know, like maybe religious freedom in the schools. Or now we're seeing that there's literally no area of life off limits. I mean, we literally just had a case where we had women who were doing needlepoint in a senior citizen center, and one of them decided to bring the Bible, and before they knew it, 14 of the 16 women had become Christians, and they were loving this time of needlepoint and doing the Bible until the government came in and said, you can't talk about religion, you can't have a Bible, this is a government building, and literally told all these women that they couldn't have a Bible, they couldn't talk about their faith while they were there in their senior center. Scared them to death about even bringing a Bible on any government property. And there's really a battle for the soul of our country right now. And people might think this is, you know, a strong statement, but I'm telling you, as a guy who's been doing this for a quarter century, it's true. In the next 5 years, we're either going to lose religious freedom or we're going to save it for our country. Because we're in an all-out tooth-to-tooth battle right now about whether we're going to retain our first freedom.
So the Supreme Court has sort of left the free exercise clause hanging in the air. initially saying this decision doesn't apply to it, but not really giving clear language for other people to hang their defense on. And so you better find a good lawyer to be able to live out your faith in the public square. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The Supreme Court decision has all kinds of impacts that people don't realize. I mean, a lot of people, I think they think, okay, well, I understand they might go after the tax-exempt status of my church or my ministry, and they might go after the FCC license to take my favorite ministry or whatever off the air. And I've even seen them going after people that are bakers and florists and destroying their businesses and fining them. But I'm not any of those, so I think I'm okay. And they're wrong. This is coming to everyone. If you're in a profession, and I mean any profession, a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, a real estate agent, you name it, almost everything's a profession. You have an ethics code. You have a code of conduct. And as they bring this new Supreme Court principle into that code of conduct, you will then have a decision to make. Do you hold to your faith in what you believe about marriage and maybe lose your career? We have people who are losing their jobs, not because they say anything at work or do anything at work, but because they find out where they go to church and what they believe about marriage, and they're being fired. And I know people have a hard time believing that, but I don't have one case like that. I've got a whole stack of cases like that, of people who are losing their job because of where they go to church and that their church teaches that marriage is a man and a woman. Now, that's against the law. It violates everything this country is about. But this is the kind of battle we're in where really it's going to require people to stand up, or we're going to lose these freedoms.
It really does take some courage to do that, doesn't it? I see a church that seems to be censoring itself a bit these days, not being as bold with their proclamation of biblical truth for fear of offending someone. And, of course, they're being very unbiblical in doing so. Self-censorship is it's sort of the coward's way out, but it really takes a person with a certain amount of courage to be able to stand and fight those battles, doesn't it?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, these people who are standing up are having to go through very difficult situations. You often feel abandoned and alone when you're in those situations. But, wow, afterwards, to watch what God does in their lives, it's a test. Are you willing to stand with the one that you claim you follow? And I think that in our country, if you looked at what time is this time in the country, it's Joshua 1 time. It's where God had to say, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, over and over again to the Israelites. Now, they ended up in the Promised Land, but they had to go through that time. Standing for your faith in silence is no longer an option in the United States of America. If you stand up, you're actually going to be known, you're actually going to stand out, and you very well might have to pay a price for it. And so people need to make up their mind about whether they're willing to do that before it.
Choose you this day whom you will serve.
Because it's going to come to your footsteps.
We're grateful to people like Kelly Shackelford, steadfastly defending religious freedom in the courts. But what a shame that this is even necessary. How did we get to this point? There have always been attacks on Christianity, but during the 20th century, something terrible began to happen. Christians began to, in some sense, vacate the public square, believing that their faith was solely an inward and private expression. Nobody spoke more powerfully or insightfully on the results of this retreat than the late Dr. Francis Schaeffer. He was invited by D. James Kennedy to speak from the pulpit of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. And here's a vital portion of what he had to say in that historic message, A Christian Manifesto.
Christians, in the last 80 years or so, have only been seeing things as bits and pieces. Instead of seeing things which have gradually begun to trouble Christians and others also of goodwill, such as over-permissiveness, pornography, the problem of the public schools, the breakdown of the family, abortion, infanticide, the killing of newborn babies, the increased emphasis upon the euthanasia of the old, many, many other things. They have seen these as isolated bits and pieces instead of understanding that they are the natural outcome of a change from a Christian worldview to a humanistic one. It's the real reason for the breakdown in values in our country. And it is the reason that our Supreme Court now functions so thoroughly upon the fact of arbitrary law. They have no basis for law that is fixed. Therefore, like the young person who decides to live hedonistically upon their own chosen arbitrary values, society is now doing the same thing legally. That a certain few people come together and decide what they arbitrarily believe is for the good of society at the given moment, and that becomes law. The worldview that the final reality is only material or energy shaped by pure chance, inevitably, that's the next word I would bring to you, inevitably, mathematically, with mathematical certainty, brings forth all these other results, which are in our country and in our society, which has led to the breakdown in the country, in society, and which are its present sorrows. So if you hold this other worldview, you must realize that it is inevitable that we will come to the very sorrows of relativity and all these other things that are so represented in our country at this moment of history. Where have the Bible-believing Christians been? We shouldn't be surprised. The liberal theologians have been no help. But where have we been? As we have changed to this other consensus and all the horrors and stupidity at the present moment has come down upon our culture. We must recognize that this country is close to being lost. Not, first of all, because of a humanist conspiracy. I believe there are those who conspire, but that is not the reason this country is almost lost. This country is almost lost, not because of a humanist conspiracy, but because the Bible-believing Christians in the last 40 years who have said that they know that the final reality is this infinite personal God who is the Creator and all the rest, they said they have known it, and they've done nothing about it as the consensus has changed. There's been a vast silence. Now I want to say something with great force right here. What I've been talking about, whether you know it or not, is true spirituality. This is true spirituality. Spirituality, after you're a Christian and have accepted Christ as Savior, means that Christ is the Lord of all your life and not just your religious life. And if you make a dichotomy in these things, you are denying your Lord, His proper place, and I don't care how many butterflies you have in your stomach, you are poor spiritually. True spirituality means that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of all of life. And except for the things that are specifically told us in the Bible are sinful, we set them aside. Except for that, all of life is spiritual and all of life is equally spiritual. And that includes, as our forefathers did, standing for these things of freedom and standing for these things of human life and all these other matters that are so crucial. If indeed this living God does exist as we know that He does exist. We have forgotten our heritage. A lot of the evangelical camp likes to talk a lot about the old revivals, and they tell us we ought to have another revival. We need another revival. You and I need the revival. There ought to be constant revival in our hearts. But they've forgotten something, and most of the Christians have forgotten something, and most of the pastors have forgotten something. And that is the factor that every single revival that there's ever been, a real revival, whether it was the Great Awakening before the American Revolution, whether it was the great revivals in Scandinavia, whether it was Wesley and Whitfield, wherever you found a great revival, it's always had three parts. First, it is called for the individual to accept Christ as Savior, and thankfully in all these that I've named, thousands have been saved. Then it's called upon the Christians to bow their hearts to God and really let the Holy Spirit have His place and fullness in their life. But there's always, in every revival, been a third element. It has always brought social change. Well, we must realize the bottom line, the early Christians, the people of the Reformation, the founding father of this country faced and acted on, is the realization that if there is no place for disobeying the government, that government has been put in the place of the living God. In such a case, the government has been made a false god. Christ must be the final Lord, and not society, and not Caesar. May I repeat the final sentence again? Christ must be the final Lord, and not Caesar, and not society.
Francis Schaeffer's message was indeed prophetic, and it rings true even more powerfully today. Everything he spoke about is coming to pass before our very eyes. You're about to meet one Christian couple paying a significant price for living out their Christian beliefs in an increasingly hostile and secular nation.
I specialize in wedding cakes and custom designed cakes.
Melissa Klein of Gresham, Oregon, along with her husband Aaron, created a thriving business called Sweet Cakes by Melissa. She poured a great deal of energy into her special cakes for that special day.
We owned a bakery. Actually, it was more of a custom design cake shop. Everything was a made-to-order, I mean, specifically designed as the customer wanted.
We really like to make it very specific to each individual couple.
We did quite a few weddings. I'd probably say about 150, 160 weddings a year. It was Gresham, Oregon based. We delivered everywhere from Ashland all the way up past Seattle.
We wanted in everything that we did in our business, I wanted to use my, you know, artistic ability to glorify the Lord.
But in early 2013, their sweet success turned sour when their conscience did not allow them to create a wedding cake to celebrate the union of two lesbians.
January 2013, we had a girl and her mom come in requesting us to do her wedding cake. Return customer. When I learned what the cake was for, I couldn't in good conscience take part in it. It was something that flew right in the face of what the Bible defined as marriage.
The state of Oregon has brought claims for damages on behalf of the two girls who came into Aaron and Melissa's shops. They've brought claims for damages simply because Aaron and Melissa would not violate their religious beliefs and celebrate something that they believed was wrong.
Because of the boycotting, the demonstrations that happened, everything that's gone on, we've lost our storefront. We've lost what was our main source of income for our family.
We've been accused of, are called a hater, a bigot, every name that you can possibly think of in the book. You know, at first, you know, I won't lie, it really hurt and it really hit me hard because it was like, how am I a hater? You know, like, just because I don't want to do something, do I not have rights to say what I want to do and what I don't want to do? I shouldn't have to be forced to do something that violates my religious beliefs.
I mean, this is a case about whether the state can force you to communicate a message, participate in an event which violates your religious beliefs. The state of Oregon has brought the full force of the law down on these people for simply deciding to stand by their religious beliefs.
And now the state of Oregon is demanding that the Kleins pay a hefty fine to the lesbian couple for not baking their cake. And on top of that, they issued a gag order on the Kleins from being able to discuss the case.
In 2015, the Bureau of Labor and Industries ruled against us. They said that we had discriminated against the two girls, and they charged us with $135,000 in emotional damages.
The $135,000 that was awarded to these girls was split two different ways. We had $75,000 for the girl that was present at the shop, $60,000 for the girl that hadn't set foot in my shop for over a year and a half. The $15,000 was simply for being there and having to hear those words, "I'm really sorry, I didn't mean to waste your time." That was worth $15,000 according to this judge.
The $135,000 fine is to go to the lesbian couple to compensate for the emotional damages Sweet Cakes caused the couple. Here is a list of the nearly 80 alleged symptoms the couple claims they experienced because Sweet Cakes would not bake their cake.
And yeah, I could file, I could lose my house, I could file bankruptcy, it could, and we're not talking about two people that owned a multi-million dollar business, we're talking about a husband and wife that owned a small shop that supported their five kids.
A person should be allowed under the Constitution to work in the marketplace and make a living without fear of having to go against what they believe in their heart of hearts to be true.
You know, the hardest thing has been watching my wife go through this. She loved doing cakes. She loved being a part of people's day. And to have that stripped away to the level it has been it has been devastating.
The hardest thing for me, I think, would be that I lost my shop. I lost something that I really love doing. I would definitely say it's been the hardest thing.
Aaron and Melissa Klein are living out their faith and willing to pay the price for it. They know that true Christianity is not lived out merely in private, behind closed doors. Rather, Jesus Christ is sovereign over every part of life. In this intolerant age of secularism, our calling remains the same, to live out our Christian faith in a way that is bold and unapologetic, yet one that is also loving and faithful. Here to share how we can be better prepared for swimming in the tides of secularism is my very good friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, welcome.
Thanks, Frank. As Francis Schaeffer powerfully reminded us on today's program, true spirituality means that Christ is the Lord of all your life and not just your religious life. To split those two things apart is to deny your Lord his proper place. This is a message that all Christians urgently need to hear, understand, and act on. Francis Schaeffer's message, A Christian Manifesto, was a clarion call that's still reverberating today. You saw just a short portion of that message on today's program, and we want you to have the whole thing on DVD to share with your friends and family, your pastor, and your small group Bible study. We'll send it to you when you give a generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762. Or go online to djameskennedy.org. And with your generous donation, we'll also send you the important new book, Sadism, The Shadows of Another Night, which features powerful essays from C.S. Lewis, R.C. Sproul, Presidents Dwight D. Eisenhower and Ronald Reagan, and my dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy, among many others. This book sounds a powerful warning about the danger of an overreaching government, and we'll include it with the DVD of Francis Schaeffer's A Christian Manifesto as thanks for your generous donation. Together, this book and DVD set is a powerful tool for helping you understand the true nature of the recent attacks on our religious freedom and how we as Christians must respond to those attacks. For too long, Christians have gone along with an agenda that says our faith is something private and personal. That shouldn't venture outside of the home or the church. That's simply a false view of Christianity, and we must urgently resist it. This is a key moment in American history, and it's a key moment for us as Christians. let us send you the DVD, A Christian Manifesto from Francis Schaeffer, as well as the book, Statism, The Shadows of Another Night, when you contact us with a generous donation of any amount. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org.
In an age where everyone is campaigning for special benefits, Christians can sound like just another special interest group. But that's just not the case. The battle for religious freedom is not an attempt to get our own piece of the pie or receive some special treatment. It's an attempt to maintain the framework of personal freedom that was established by America's settlers and the framers of our Constitution, an historic and proven framework that ultimately benefits everyone. The authors of our Declaration of Independence recognize that our rights come directly from God, that they're not some gift of government to be taken away at will. There are ultimately only two possible views on the question of sovereignty. As Francis Schaeffer indicated, either our rights come from a sovereign God, or they come from the mere preferences of men. And if they're the product of human preferences, they can be taken away by anyone who gains power. Unfortunately, this is the reality that we're seeing more and more in America today. Special interest groups and their friends in the Congress and in the courts are moving to take away God-given freedoms. They've made it legal to kill children in the womb, and they're in the process of criminalizing support for the biblical view of marriage. It is our duty to stand up boldly and with courage from the Lord and say to them, no, Your Honor, no, Mr. President, no, Senator, you do not stand in the place of God Almighty. He is God, and He is sovereign over both of us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in everything we do, privately and publicly. And with respect, we don't need your permission to do it. We already have permission from God Himself. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on this program. We'll see you next week on Truths That Transform.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
In the name of God begins our search this day for the meaning of this monument, more importantly, for the meaning of the pilgrims.
Though the pilgrims sought to live as God designed, there was actually one area in which they were prohibited from doing so when they arrived at Plymouth.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.